This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We've been looking today at the enduring, anguished legacy of the music and art created at the Nazi camp of Terezin. Actually, a town rather than a concentration camp, but an enclosed one that held an astonishing group of Jewish artists, composers, actors, and writers, and which sent most of them to the gas chambers at Auschwitz as the war drew to a close. The Nash Ensemble has been performing the music of Terezin at home in England, and their concerts here in New York are a central part of this series of events going on at the 92nd Street Y. Here is the Nash Ensemble String Quartet to play a movement from the String Quartet No. 3, written in Terezin by the composer Victor Ullmann. That is music from the composer Victor Ullmann, who was one of the Jewish artists interred at Terezin and later killed before the end of the Second World War by the Nazis. The first movement of his String Quartet No. 3, played live in our studio by the String Quartet of the Nash Ensemble from England, Stephanie Gonley and Laura Samuel playing the violins, Lawrence Power playing the viola, Paul Watkins playing the cello, Lawrence and Paul joining me at the microphones. And Paul, let me start with you. Victor Ullmann, How much reconsidering or considering do we need to do of this guy's music, his place in music history?
Well, for me, it's considering rather than reconsidering, because up until taking part in this project, I was only aware of him really as a name. But in studying this quartet and other music of his, he was, you know, going to become a major force in 20th century, mid-20th century music in Europe, if not the world, had his life not been cut so tragically short. But from that piece we just played, you can hear incredible energy and expressionism, but also harmonic sophistication. Mm. He's pushing the boundaries a lot.
That's something that has struck me about actually quite a number, not just of Victor Ullmann's pieces, but you know, Lawrence, a lot of the other composers in the Terezin project that you guys have been playing. Were these sort of cutting-edge composers? I mean, was Prague a real hotbed of musical experimentation?
Absolutely, and I mean, what you have with all these composers that we're performing, Krause, Pavel Haas, who you mentioned earlier, Victor Ullmann, I mean, these were... It's impossible to separate, you know, these composers from the circumstances under which these pieces were written. But I think on a musical level, you know, this music stands so strongly on its own merits. It's wonderful to play. And certainly, I think certainly those three composers, in my opinion, Haas, Krause and Ullmann, would have possibly been, you know, a very important influence in 20th century music had they gone on. You know, because they really are sort of unique musical voices, I think, and it's wonderful to, you know, to play them within this project.
Now, these pieces that you're playing for us today were written in Terezin, so they were written under, let's say, extraordinary circumstances.
Yes.
You know, the reason I'm sort of harping on that after all we've said already today is the ending of that first movement, Paul, a very uncertain ending, it seemed.
Yes, exactly. You're absolutely right. And a lot of the kind of harmonic language that these composers are speaking does have uncertainty. And, of course, that was happening in Europe before the war with the Second Viennese School of Schoenberg and Berg and Webern. And these composers as young men pre-Theresien Schack were absorbing all these influences, but somehow... When one knows about the circumstances of their composition, it becomes all the more touching and anguished. And another interesting point that someone made to me last night after our first performance at the Y was that he was sure that Gideon Klein, who was the youngest of this group of composers at Terezin, must have had a very intimate connection with Hans Krause. They must have known what each other was working on at the same time, because particularly there are two string trios by both composers which we played last night, which actually sound very similar to each other. Almost some of the musical motifs and themes are very, very closely related. They must have been there in the same bunks discussing this.
I mean, the extraordinary thing is they were writing for the combinations of instruments they had.
Right.
So I think, in fact, the Krause pieces were possibly intended as a quartet originally and
didn't have
four. And the end had to be a string trio, you know, Messiaen quartet for the time. And also a wonderful piece we're playing tomorrow night by Krause again for voice, cello, clarinet and viola. I can't think of any other piece in the world.
Because that's what he had.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's another aspect of this series which is interesting to look at, I think.
Well, now, we've mentioned Hans Krause numerous times during the show. He's the guy who wrote the children's opera, Brundibar. He was sent to Auschwitz towards the end, in October of 1944, and killed there. You're going to play this is a string trio?
It's a short movement. It may well have been intended to form part of a larger piece. This is called, I don't know whether my Czech pronunciation is correct, Tanets or Tants. It's a dance, basically. A very wild dance, almost a sort of dance of death, actually. It shows, well, the other thing that's really affecting to me about this music is that it has echoes of popular music in it as well, and jazz, which was beginning to permeate Europe in the 20s and the 30s, popular melodies, things which are perhaps a little bit schmaltzy as well, and that, you know, people were still enjoying that kind of music under the most grim of, you know, circumstances.
So this piece was written in Terezin by Hans Krause. Shall we hear it?
Sure.
It's members of the Nash Ensemble from England performing live on Soundcheck on this special edition of the program devoted to the music and art in the so-called art camp at Terezin during World War II. This piece by Hans Krause is called Tanz for String Trio.
Thank you.
What a remarkable piece by Hans Krause. Quicksilver changes of mood and tone, and a live performance by members of the Nash Ensemble here in our soundcheck studio. The piece called Tanz, or Dance, by Hans Krause. And as cellist Paul Watkins told us before playing it, a dance, but also a kind of a dance of death. And guys, first of all, let me just thank you for bringing this music to New York in general and to our soundcheck studio in particular. Really great to hear.
You're most welcome.
And just, I mean, I know this is a tough question to throw at you at the end here, but as musicians, what does it mean to you guys to keep this music alive, knowing what happened to the composer and the musicians who first played it?
It means a huge amount, and what makes it more special and really worthwhile is that it's not just because of the circumstances that it was written in. It's the fact that it's such incredibly engaging music. Anyway, it's worth doing, you know. You heard this piece, this stuff, sight unseen, it would still sound like great music.
Well said. The members of the Nash Ensemble have two more concerts in this series of events at the 92nd Street Y. They're performing Thursday night and Saturday night at 8 p.m. at the 92nd Street Y here in New York. The series known as Will to Create, Will to Live, The Culture of Terezin is a set of concerts, films, art exhibits, and lectures at the Y through February 16th. Details on the Soundcheck webpage, wnyc.org/soundcheck. To the members of the Nash Ensemble, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program produced by Katie Bishop and Greta Cohn. Our senior producer is Joel Meyer. We had help today from Rachel Smith, looking into the control room to try and figure out who, and Brett Jaspers. That's going to do it for Soundcheck this afternoon. I'm John Schaefer. Be with us again tomorrow for another edition of Soundcheck.